The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I know a place where we can go to lay the troubles down, eating your soul. I know a place where mercy flows, take the stains, make it whiter than snow. Like a tide, it is rising up deep inside a current that moves and makes you come alive. Living water that brings the dead to life.
This is Crosswalk with Gino Geraci.
We're going down to the river, down to the river, down to the river to pray.
Hey, good afternoon and welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is Gino Geraci. I'm so glad you could join me on Crosswalk with Gino Geraci. It is, of course, the program where we typically take your calls and answer your questions about the things you care the most about, questions about God and the historical Jesus, questions about the Bible, worldviews, and world religions. But from time to time, I have authors, artists, guests who are making a difference in the kingdom of God and the body of Christ. Joining me is Dr. Jim Dennison. He, of course, writes prolifically at the Dennison Forum, DennisonForum.org. And Dr. Jim Dennison, today, the lead article that you posted, My Response to the Biden Inauguration. Thanks so much for joining me.
Gino, I'm so glad to be on with you again today. It's always a privilege for me. Thanks, my friend.
Yeah, these historic occasions, the storming of the Capitol, now the Biden inauguration. But what's interesting to me in just the broadest terms, I guess I wanted to talk with a little bit about with you, is what does a Biden administration mean for the listener, for the person who's listening right now, for the Christian and for the church? What are some of the broad things you're looking at as you anticipate and think about a Biden administration?
That's the question. And that's the question that all of us need to be asking about, thinking about. I'm thinking about the men of Issachar in First Chronicles 12:32 that were able to know the times and therefore what Israel should do. It's critical for Christians to be reading the times, to be understanding what's happening, and then to be reframing this in ways that we can use to advance God's kingdom on earth. Mm-hmm. So I'm really thinking kind of in three categories. The first is on a positive level relative to the new president's personal story. There is a compelling There's several compelling dimensions to his story, overcoming stuttering as a severe stuttering as a child and eventually being elected president of his high school class. The tragic loss of his wife and his daughter in 1972, actually taking the oath of office for the Senate at the hospital where his sons were recovering from that accident. I think about the degree to which over his many years in political service, he's sought to move across party lines, his friendship with Mitch McConnell on some level. So there's some things inside that, his lifelong commitment to his Catholic faith. Went to Mass this morning prior to the inaugural event, and then, of course, sought to get leaders from across the party to join him at a worship service this morning. So we have some of that as believers we can look to relative to what he's been through, his compassion, his passion for hurting people, his faith story. If I'm thinking on the negative side, Gina, I mentioned two things very quickly. And first is what he has said during the campaign he intends to do relative to abortion. And second, what he intends to do relative to the Equality Act and the severe threat that that poses for those of us that have religious convictions in those contexts. Even today, sign an executive order directing the government to interpret civil rights acts as prohibiting workplace discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity. We don't know what that's going to mean for churches, for not-for-profit ministries, for faith-based hospitals, for faith-based adoption services. There's all of that out there in the front as well.
Yeah, there are some 17 executive orders, memorandums, or proclamations that he made. Some of the more troubling ones seem to include lifting the restrictions on immigration. He has rejoined the Paris climate change. Now, again, some people might see that as a positive or a negative. For some people who see the climate narrative as climate alarmism, they obviously don't see this as something very helpful.
You're right. And a lot of this is going to be interpretive, isn't it? For instance, his executive order requiring that people wear masks. That applies only to federal property because that's as far as a president has authority to do that. The launch of a 100-day masking challenge encourages Americans to wear masks. But I'm speaking to you from Dallas,
right,
where we're absolutely a hotspot relative to COVID. If you drove 2 hours west from here, out to Palo Pinto County, let's say, the COVID issue is much less than it is here. There's not a uniform approach relative to closing schools, closing restaurants, requiring mask mandates that applies equally across the board. And so there's some of that, in which there really are two ways to look at what he's doing as it applies to specific municipalities.
Right. And again, we know that the national mandate extends to buildings, federal lands, federal employees. But also, again, many people are perceiving that what he's doing are aimed at reversing some of President Trump's iconic things like the border wall down your way by Texas, that somehow he's reversing Trump's harshest immigration policies, which some people would perceive as being harsh, that he signed an executive order to exclude non-citizens from the census count. In other words, that seems to be interpreting if you're here illegally, then you should still be counted. So these are all politically impacting issues, but they probably have some social but also spiritual implications about what we as a church are going to be doing for the next 4 years.
Absolutely true. You could take the immigration issue as an example. And on the one side, biblically speaking, borders are a fact of how Scripture describes human life. The idea of being under authority of Scripture and under authority of the laws and of the governing authorities that are in place. And so that would speak against illegal immigration. On the other side, Scripture is very clear that the Jews themselves were immigrants, that they themselves were sojourners. And Christians are described as sojourners in this world. And part of the Old Testament code has to do with welcoming immigrants and those that are impoverished, those in need. Book of James speaks of caring for widows and orphans in their distress. So there's a balance here. And on the one side, it seemed that the Trump administration maybe moved toward the law and order side of that. The Biden administration maybe toward the inclusivity side of that. Believers are going to have different positions in all of this. What we want to be doing, of course, is evaluating all of this through the lens of Scripture and then ultimately moving to a personal relationship with Jesus, who loves all of us and can change every life because all of us are sojourners in this fallen world.
Yeah, it's very interesting to me that in a broad nod to his diverse coalition, he signed a broad executive order requiring all federal agencies to make equity a central factor. Now, again, equity, when we talk about quote-unquote social justice versus biblical justice, it's, you know, again, I've been doing a lot of reading, writing, and thinking, and I know you have as well, on this subject. And in my view, what he perceives to be social justice and what constitutes biblical justice are there's a wide chasm, because one is directed, at least I think, from a secular humanist kind of a view that reality is based on what the human mind perceives versus the revelation view that God has revealed certain things, that he's created the heavens and the earth, that he created the male and female, and that there is a reality to a biological basis for gender.
You're exactly right. Those are two very different worldviews, aren't they?
Yeah.
On the one side, there's kind of the critical race theory that's functioning behind this as well, which there's several ways of doing that. There's several lanes on that freeway. But one of them sees us in classes, a Marxist background, and sees us relative to oppressors and the oppressed, and really kind of moves against the biblical belief that each of us are individually created in the image of God. And there's a personal value, a personal sacredness to the individual that is overlooked in the class approach. There's another way of seeing critical race theory theory, however, that does look at the reality, the tragic reality of systemic racism in our country and tries to move against that. It'll be interesting to see which one of those becomes the way the Biden administration moves forward on the concept of racial justice.
It really will be. My guest is Dr. Jim Dennison. You can find out more about Dr. Jim Dennison at the Dennison Forum. Go to DennisonForum.org. Sign up, subscribe, hit the subscribe button. I get the Dennison Forum article, the daily article, every day. I hope you do too. I'll be right back.
I always continue to heavy up out here. No big problems. We are crash-free. A 25 corridor getting busier in the downtown drive. Some delays heading up to 84th Avenue. 270, some slower speeds both directions. And building on southbound 225 as you head into the tech center. Highway 36 looks great. Speeds on the high side. I'm Susan Thielen.
This report is sponsored by ExpressPros.com. Looking for an easier way to find your next call center or accounting job? It's time to get to know Express Employment Professionals. Find a location near you at ExpressPros.com.
94.7 FM, The Word.
I struggled with symptoms like frequent gas and stomach pain for years.
I was bloated all the time with daily diarrhea.
At first, I thought it was what I was eating.
I kept thinking it was stomach issues.
So I did my research and talked to my doctor, and we finally uncovered the truth.
It was actually EPI. Exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, is a condition where your pancreas is unable to help break down your food.
It can lead to symptoms like diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools.
And EPI symptoms can be confused with those of other common digestive conditions, like irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's, and celiac disease.
So getting to the right diagnosis meant being more open with my doctor about the severity of my symptoms and how often they were happening.
But there's good news. EPI is manageable, so don't wait any longer. Use the symptom checker at identifyepi.com and schedule a visit or call with your doctor to ask, Could I have EPI?
Sponsored by AbbVie.
Church leadership comes with a great deal of responsibility and no small number of risks. Being a shepherd of God's people requires the proper motivation, accountability, and endurance. At Wednesday on Brave, Jeff Swartzentrub speaks to the heart of what it means to be a church elder. Join us for this fundamental message on spiritual leadership. Wednesday on Brave with Jeff Swartzentrub.
Weekday mornings at 6 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. and weeknights at 7 p.m. on Denver's 94.7 FM. The Word.
By now, you've all heard me talk about MyPillow, how it's literally changing lives. They won't go flat. You can wash and dry them as many times as you want, and they maintain their shape. Made in the USA. For a limited time, Mike is offering his premium MyPillows for his lowest price ever. You can get a queen-size premium MyPillow for $29.98, regularly $69.98. That's a $40 savings. Kings are only $5 more. Not only are you getting the lowest price ever, $29.98 for a queen-size premium, but Mike is extending his 60-day money-back guarantee to March 1st, 2021. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square. Use promo code SNOOZE. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream bed sheets, the MyPillow mattress topper, and MyPillow towel sets. Or call 800-848-6979 and use promo code SNOOZE.
Your business is ready for a reboot, a recharge. The way our companies operate has changed. Adapting to the changes hasn't been easy, but never more important to succeed. Many of the digital resources available have helped overcome obstacles your business is facing, but are you using the full potential of every one of them? That's where Salem Surround can help. Your business needs to use digital tools more than ever to stay in touch with customers who are making buying decisions for the new year. Will they consider or even know about you? The marketing team at Salem Surround gives you the tools needed to stand out and be visible to current and potential customers online right now looking for what you do. We'll design a plan that targets and surrounds customers with proven marketing strategies. Contact Salem Surround for a free evaluation of your marketing plan and see how we can help place your advertising message in front of today's consumers. Learn more at SurroundDenver.com. SurroundDenver.com. Connecting you with new customers.
Now, back to Crosswalk with Gino Geraci. Come on and rise up. Take a breath. You're alive
now. Can't you hear the voice of Jesus? Hey, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Gino Geraci. So glad you could join me on the program. Joining me, Dr. Jim Dennison. We're talking a little bit about what we might expect in the not too distant future. As we were going down that laundry list of executive orders, one of the things that I found particularly concerning was the 1776. And I know you've done a little research and writing on the 1619 project mm-hmm. and the 1776 project. And again, just this, the great big idea of how America views its past and present, and does it matter what we think about ourselves?
And it absolutely does on every level, doesn't it?
Yes.
If you make the 1619 project the way America should see itself, then not only was racism a part of our history, racism was the foundation of our country. In fact, they'll go so far as to say, with absolute historical repudiation all across the board, but nonetheless the claim is, that our founders founded this country to advance racism. That they founded this country to advance their own personal economic interests and to advance slavery, that they were themselves landowners, and the whole reason they wanted to found a country was to advance personal economic interests. Well, that has been absolutely repudiated by historians across the board, but it's being taught in public schools, more than 3,000 schools across the country that are adopting various versions of the 1619 project relative to school textbooks, school curriculum. It's frightening. So the 1776 commission was intended to counter that. And of course, the 1619 historians are lambasting the 1776 historians and vice versa. But 1776, I think, is more correctly wanting Americans to see that the actual founding of this country was not motivated by a desire to perpetuate slavery and racism as historic, as absolutely horrific as that was. But that wasn't the foundational purpose of the country.
You know, one of the things that I find really interesting, too, Jim, is Barna did a study about Black Church. They called it the Black Church Project. And in this study, they found that 73% of Black adults and 75% of Black churchgoers said that they feel powerless when it comes to politics. And when I was reading that article, it made me think about some of the things that you have written. And I'm wondering whether or not do you think with this shift and deep division and the results of the election that Christians might feel powerless when it comes to politics? And what would you say to the Christian who might feel powerless when it comes to politics, but yet we ask and we answer the question, what is the real power that we possess in the current cultural climate?
Terrific question. And it's really on two levels. As you know, on the one level, Jesus is king. He doesn't get elected. He doesn't get unelected. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's king on Monday, not just Sunday. He is king of every dimension. When America is no more someday, Jesus will still be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And 10,000 millennia from now, when this world is gone and it's just a historical footnote, Jesus will still be king. And we believers know that. That's why praying, that's why following Jesus is such an empowering and powerful thing to do. But relative to our democratic political process, it is still a fact. The conservatives control more than half of the state legislatures. Mm-hmm. It is still a fact. The conservatives made inroads in the House of Representatives beyond what was predicted, and they did better in the Senate than was predicted. So the idea that the Democratic blue wave, as it's sometimes been called, means that conservatives have no role in our political process is just historically and categorically untrue. I'd move that to a local level, though, and say, mm-hmm. your mayor, if he hears from you, will pay attention to that. Emails and phone calls with city councils, with school boards, showing up at school board meetings, being engaged in local politics has an enormous effect. I've known a number of elected leaders over the years, and they say, citizens don't know the degree to which we pay attention. So few people reach out to us that when someone does, we assume they represent hundreds, if not thousands, of others. We have enormous power to participate in our democracy even today.
Yeah, it's interesting to me. In another posting that you did at ChristianHeadlines.com, you make the statement that Paul's word to the conflicted Corinthian congregation is God's word for us today. You quote 1 Corinthians 1:10, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, that that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. Obviously, this doesn't mean that we agree politically, but that there is something that we all have to agree on when it comes to the problem, that it's sin, the solution, that Jesus is the Savior, that the Bible gives us a true revelation of the most important issues.
Absolutely. Unity is not uniformity. It's sometimes been said where two people always agreed, one isn't necessary. One of the reasons the body of Christ is to be such a vibrant body is that its hands and feet and eyes and ears and different gifts and different perspectives. The followers of Jesus were not a homogeneous organization. As you look across the life of that Jews and Greeks, slave and free male and female. So we welcome diversity of position. We welcome that kind of conversation and mutuality. But if there isn't a foundation upon which to have the conversation, we can't have the conversation.
You know, it's
and I don't share the same dictionary,
right,
the same vocabulary. It's awfully hard to talk. And that's kind of where we are as a culture in this post-truth place where we find ourselves.
Yeah, and it's interesting to me, no matter who's getting elected right at this very moment, if Trump were to have been reelected, I'm thinking about, again, the two great issues that the nation faces. We still are a deeply divided country, and the pandemic, there's a real pandemic out there. I guess you talked a little bit about that 400,000 number that we've surpassed. What do you now, obviously, there was a lot of vitriol and shock statements when the current president accused the former president that the 300,000 plus people, the deaths are on his hands. Do you think that the current leadership is going to now go forward thinking that whoever dies from here on in, that that's on their hands?
Unfortunately, tragically, it's not on anybody's hands to the degree that they could have stopped this, could have prevented this.
That's
just means
the
political,
yeah.
Political caricature on either side. The tragedy of this is we're dealing with a novel coronavirus that this time a year ago, we couldn't even fully name. It was only at the end of January of a year ago that the WHO declared a national pandemic emergency. And so we're learning every day about this. I'm a resident scholar for ethics with Baylor Scott & White Health here in Texas. And I can tell you that even the scientists and the physicians are struggling day by day to understand this virus better than our four strains of this virus that are active in the United States right now. We have a long ways to go before we're going to be on the other side of this, regardless of who the president is.
Right. The president has said ambitiously that in the first 100 days, he plans to give out 100 million vaccines. Now, I don't care who you are. That sounds very ambitious and, to be frank, unrealistic. But yet, we still need to come up with some policy issues that are going to address this.
Absolutely. We have to be bearing down on this. Back when all of this, the vaccines came forward, it looked like we'd actually have vaccines. It was announced then. The vaccinating 7 billion people, and with most of the vaccines, it's two vaccines, would be the largest, most daunting engineering feat in human history.
Wow.
That really is true. If you're looking at Pfizer and Moderna, they have to be stored at 40 below. You're looking specifically at what it takes to distribute that effectively, how you track people to make certain the second vaccine is in line with the first vaccine, how you do this in the proper time frame, how you teach people just because you have one vaccination doesn't mean you're now immune to the disease. 400 people in Israel that just the other day contracted coronavirus after their first vaccination because they just went out into life thinking they were set because we had the first of two vaccinations. It's a massive project. Now, I don't want to be unduly afraid here. I really do believe with Dr. Fauci and others, the tracking is that by the summer, and certainly by the fall, but by the summer, the vast majority of Americans who wish to receive a vaccine will have received one. But vaccine skepticism is yet another piece of this,
right,
and the degree to which all of that is going to play. It's a massive project going forward.
Well, I want to thank you again for all that you do and the postings and the helping us to stay current. I'm hoping that all my listeners will subscribe for the news that's discerned differently. I get the daily article, as you know. And Dr. Jim Dennison, thanks so much for being my guest, and I look forward to future conversations.
So glad to be on with you today, Gino. Thanks so much. God bless.
And God bless America.
The
of accidents in the drive. Highway 287, there's two crashes. Northbound 287 approaching Northwest Parkway, and a second wreck on northbound 287 at South Boulder Road. Alf Highway, there's a bad accident at Colfax and Quebec. Eastbound Colfax is shut down. The highway is in great shape out here. No big problems. We're definitely heavier. The I-25 corridor stacking up across downtown. Southbound 225, pretty heavy now as you pass Parker Road into the Tech Center. C-470 still looks good. Speeds there on the high side. I'm Susan Phelan.
This report is sponsored by ExpressPros.com.
94.7 FM, The Word.
Hi, this is Gino Geraci inviting you to join me on the program Crosswalk with Gino Geraci. And on this program, we're going to take your calls, answer your questions. There's a reason why we call the program Crosswalk. It really is the intersection of Christian faith and Christian living. This is where doctrine meets duty, belief meets behavior. This is the program with you in mind.
Crosswalk with Gino Geraci, weekday afternoons from 4 to 6 p.m. on 94.7 FM, The Word.
If you have an unpaid tax debt to the IRS that you can't pay, please hear this special notice. Specially approved IRS relief programs designed to aid delinquent taxpayers are now in effect that can significantly improve your financial situation. Depending on your circumstances, you may qualify to have your tax problem resolved in your favor and may even have your back taxes reduced by thousands or eliminated entirely. A relief hotline has been established by Community Tax for you to call and see if you qualify at 800-500-5588. If you owe the IRS back taxes that you can't afford to pay, don't let the IRS trick you into thinking you have no way out. Our highly accredited tax professionals will let you know what you qualify for and how much you can save. We may be able to stop all liens, garnishments, levies, and save you thousands. Call and see if you qualify for this taxpayer relief at 800-500-5588. 800-500-5588. That's 800-500-5588. Community Tax. Who's your tax guy?
Ah, retirement. Sounds so sweet you can almost taste it, can't you? You've been doing the right things, saving the right way, working hard, and now you're ready to start that next great journey of life. You get to do what you love with the people you love in places you've been dreaming about for years. Are you ready? Have you saved enough? Do you know if your money's going to last? That's where we come in. This is Colin Richards, founder of Lord & Richards. Tune in to the Lord & Richards Show Saturdays at 9 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. and Sundays at 1 p.m. right here on KRKS 94.7, The Word. I'm going to take you on a journey to discover how to be financially independent sooner than you might think. From a biblical point of view, learn more at lordandrichards.com or call 720-372-0400. That's 720-372-0400.
Investment advisory services offered only by duly registered individuals through AE Wealth Management, LLC.
From pasture to glass bottle, and for half a century, Longmont Dairy has delivered locally produced quality products, great taste and convenience. Besides delicious milk, Longmont Dairy delivers foods like cold brew coffee, tea, juice, eggs, bread, cheese, and meal kits throughout most of the Denver metro area. Contact Longmont Dairy today to get a free half-gallon sample in their delivery area. Visit longmontdairy.com to learn more.
With so much going on in the world around us, now more than ever, people are searching for hope. As we abide in God's Word, the living hope available to us all in Jesus is revealed. Join us as we encounter this living hope and abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love every weekday at 9 p.m. and every Monday through Thursday at 1 p.m. on 94.7 The Word. You can also watch live each weekday at CalvaryCastleRock.com. We pray that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ as you abide in the Word of God.
Crosswalk with Gino Geraci.
I can hear my father singing over me. It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay.
Hey, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Gino Geraci. And again, we were talking a little bit about what a Biden-Harris administration might look like. And again, setting the tone today, 17 executive orders, proclamations, fill in the blank. I can talk a little bit more about that. But there's some interesting things that I think that we should note before we move on. And that is, of course, before leaving office, Trump declared January 16th. And we didn't really get a chance, I don't think, Mark Howington, on January 16th. But before leaving office, Trump declared January 16th Religious Freedom Day. And both President Donald Trump and President-elect Joe Biden issued statements imploring America and other countries to protect religious freedom on Friday.
You know, I think what was probably unfortunate about that is that all the other headlines, of course, really overshadowed a lot of the good things that Trump still tried to do.
Exactly. And so this last 16th, January 16th, he declared to be Religious Freedom Day. And in a statement issued with the proclamation, he said he reminded Americans of the country's deep religious roots, starting with the Pilgrims' pursuit of religious freedom to the signing of the Declaration of Independence. He continued to praise his administration for the work that it did to protect religious freedom. And again, freedom of speech, for religious freedom, these are all going to be topics that I'm going to be talking at length this Friday with Dr. Doug Groteis. But in the policy, he rightly wrote, quote, "We have ended the misguided policies of denying access to educational funding to historically black colleges and universities because of their religious character, and of denying loan forgiveness to those who perform public services at religious organizations. Throughout this difficult year," he wrote, "we have continued these efforts, cutting red tape to ensure houses of worship and other faith-based organizations could receive Paycheck Protection Program loans on the same grounds that other parameters of any other entity." And so, again, I think that we're going to see some lasting benefits, including that. And I'm hoping that this current administration will once again reinforce the necessity of religious freedom. Again, to his credit, the president said today, he quoted the Bible. He urged unity. He said, we must end this uncivil war. One of my challenges is if we have to end the uncivil war, then he goes to the White House and signs 17 executive orders that further deepens the divide. I get that these are his policies, but it really is pouring salt in an open wound. And President Joe Biden, he quoted the scripture. He led the nation in silent prayer. He called on members of both parties to come together. He made the statement that he'll be a president for all Americans. This is the same statement that the current Colorado governor, Polis, made as well. And so, again, if we ask and we answer the question, governor, if you said that you're a governor for all Coloradans, Mr. President, you said you are a president for all Americans, then we expect that we should be able to petition our leaders and address the issues that we find objectionable. So today, Joe Biden became the nation's 46th president. He delivered his inaugural address moments after former President Trump landed in Florida at his Mar-a-Lago home, and becoming the first president, many media outlets are pointing out, since Andrew Johnson 152 years ago, to skip the successor's public inauguration. And again, I think there's a couple of ways that we could look at that. For the naysayers who say it was bad form for him to do so, others might say, would his presence have been an unnecessary distraction and caused further division? So Biden's address took place after Kamala Harris took the oath of office to become the first female black and Asian vice president in United States history. Country artist Garth Brooks sang Amazing Grace after Biden's speech. Now, again, that iconic song, known to all Americans, loved by most Americans. It's a whole nother story to talk about Amazing Grace, and I would love to. But his speech focused on unity. The answer to America's problems, he said, is, quote, is not to turn inward, to retreat into competing factions, distrusting those who don't look like you or worship the way that you do or don't get their news from the same sources that you do, unquote. So, again, I am not suggesting it's wrong to turn inward. And I'm certainly not suggesting that it's wrong to distrust people who don't look like you or worship like you do or get their news from the same sources. But I'm wondering how we can build trust when trust has been so fundamentally upended. The president said, we must end this uncivil war that pits red against blue and rural against urban. Now, the pit red against blue is clearly a nod to the ideology of the social progressives, dare I read socialists, and Trump supporters or conservatives. He even used those terms, red, blue, rural, urban, conservative, liberal. The president, who's self-identified as a Catholic, said, quote, we can do this if we open our souls instead of hardening our hearts, if we show a little tolerance and humility, and if we're willing to stand in the other person's shoes, as my mom would say just for a moment, stand in their shoes. The president urged all Americans, let's start afresh, all of us. Now, again, one of the challenges that we have as we start afresh is he signed 17 executive orders undoing a great deal of hard-fought changes over the last 4 years. The president said, quote, let's begin to listen to one another, hear one another, see one another, show respect to one another. He said, quote, politics doesn't have to be a raging fire destroying everything in its path. Every disagreement doesn't have to be a cause for total war. And we must reject the culture in which facts themselves are manipulated and even manufactured. Now, again, in a nod to the president's speech where he says, we must reject the culture in which facts themselves are manipulated and even manufactured, gives you some hope that is the president willing to concede that there is such a thing as a fact? You said, my fellow Americans, we have to be different than this. America has to be better than this. And I believe America is so much better than this. I'm reading from his speech. He was speaking in the shadows of the Capitol building. Its dome was constructed during the Civil War, yet we endured. We prevailed, he said. That dome was constructed during the American Civil War. And then he walks to the White House and writes an executive order to tear down the wall that Trump built. Let's see how this is going to work out. This is Gino Geraci. I'll be back.
Off highway, a bad accident, Colfax and Quebec, eastbound Colfax shut down at Quebec. Now, the highways are dealing with some delays, some heavier traffic here, no big problems. 270 across Commerce City loading up at 25 corridor. Slower traffic downtown and building on 225 as you head into the tech center. I'm Susan Thielen.
Looking for an easier way to find your next call center or accounting job? It's time to get to know Express Employment Professionals. Find a location near you at expresspros.com.
94.7 FM, The Word.
Hi, this is Philip Holland, pastor of Valley View Christian Church and host of Hope for the Day. Let me give you some of the best, oddest advice I've ever received. Don't be fair. The essence of fairness is to give to someone what they deserve. Or let's say it this way. Fairness is giving to someone what they have given to you. So, if your spouse is sarcastic to you, then you are sarcastic to them. If an angry driver yells at you, then you yell back. If a coworker undermines you, then you undermine them. If a neighbor disrespects you, then you disrespect them. Why? Because that is fair. But if we treat people better than they treat us, is that fair? No. That is mercy. Is that fair? No. That is grace. Is that fair? No. That is compassion. Romans 12:21 says, "Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." So don't be fair. Join me weekdays at 5 a.m. on 94.7 FM, The Word, as we discover hope for the day. For more information, go to valleyviewcc.com or attend one of our Sunday services at 9 and 10:30 a.m.
Hi, Dan Cicchini, Dunright Kitchens and Baths, Windows and Doors. Take your home like it is, and we'll help you make it like you want it. Been doing just that successfully for over 30 years now. 800-362-8370 or drhi.com.
Did you know there are laws in the U.S. that protect the safety and pay of farm workers? To learn more, call 866-4-US-WAGE. That's 866-4-US-WAGE or visit worker.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Labor.
It's long, over 1,000 chapters, over 30,000 verses. No wonder so many of us have never read it cover to cover. Want to do it? Want to read the entire Bible? Start today at BibleStudyTools.com. BibleStudyTools.com includes Bible in a Year, an interactive plan for reading, learning, and understanding the Bible. Deepen your faith and impact your walk with God one day at a time. Bible in a Year, just one of the new interactive Bible study tools at BibleStudyTools.com.
Your business is ready for a reboot, a recharge. The way our companies operate has changed. The changes haven't been easy, but there's help. The marketing team at Salem Surround gives you the tools needed to stand out and be visible to current and potential customers online right now looking for what you do. We can design a plan that targets potential customers with proven marketing strategies. Learn more at surrounddenver.com. Surrounddenver.com. Connecting you with new customers.
Miracle worker? Jewish prophet? Social justice warrior? Who is Jesus anyway? From the first century to the 21st century, the Confessing Church has been introducing Jesus Christ to a confused world. What about you? Are you prepared to help people, your friends and family, your neighbors and coworkers? Can you guide them into biblical clarity about Jesus Christ? Get equipped as Travis Allen teaches the truth of Scripture and answers the question of a new study, Who is this Jesus? Monday through Friday on 94.7 FM at 9:30 p.m. right here on Pillar of Truth.
We're Catholic Charities, and we believe in hope. Since 1927, we've been supporting the Denver community through many ministries, always with one mission, to serve all people. From our early childhood education to shelter services and food banks to senior housing, our 28 ministries at 72 locations serve people where they are to address their unique needs at every stage of life. We are Catholic Charities, and we need your help. Please go to ccdenver.org to donate today.
Catholic Charities. Help those in need. Believe in hope today.
Denver's 94.7 FM, The Word. Listen live at radio.com.
This is Crosswalk with Gino Gerasi.
You say I'm in love when I can't feel a thing. You say I'm strong when I think I'm weak.
Hey, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Interested to hear what you have to say. 303-873-1935. What do you think a Biden administration holds out for the Christian and for the body of Christ? 303-873-1935. That's the number if you want to join me on the program. And again, during the course of the president's speech, he basically directly addressed those who voted for President Donald J. Trump. He said, quote, "To all those who did not support us, let me say this. Hear me out as we move forward. Take a measure of me and my heart." So again, in the spirit of the president's statement, take a measure of me and my heart. It's interesting, obviously, it's impossible to know a person's heart. The Bible says that the person's heart is wicked and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's evil, corrupt. So all we're left with is the reality that we have to judge what he actually does, what he actually says, and what he actually does. And of course, he went to the White House and he signed 17 executive orders to tear down the wall, to expedite illegal immigration, to make sure that the LGBTQ radical agenda of sexual expression takes front and center. In his speech, he said, "If you still disagree, so be it. That's democracy. That's America. The right to dissent peaceably is the in the guardrails of our republic is perhaps this nation's greatest strength. But disagreement must not lead to disunion. And I pledge this to you. I will be your president for all Americans. All Americans." This was his pledge. "And I pledge this to you. I will be your president for all Americans. And I promise you, I will fight as hard for those who did not support me as for those who did." Well, we're about to find out. 303-873-1935. Thanks for joining me. Let's see who's up. Elaine, welcome to the program.
Hi, Gino. I have been listening to you faithfully for years, and I'm not very brave about calling in, but I'm so upset about what's going on in our country right now. And my question to you is, at what point are the Christian churches? I live in Highlands Ranch, so I go to Mission Hills Church. I know there's been a setback at Cherry Hills Church.
There has been a setback.
I used to go there, but I left way before
the setback.
The scandal. Yeah, I left way before the scandal because the Holy Spirit was telling me to. But what are we going to do? What are the churches going to do about the repressive tolerance that we're seeing, the loss of free speech? Christians are going to be persecuted. I'm telling all my friends, you better not rely on your phone to get the Bible. You better have a paper Bible. The cultural censorship with big tech. I mean, I think we're spiraling downward, and I don't want to go to church anymore and listen to a sermon on this Bible verse. You know what I mean? I think that we as a church should stand up. I mean, we've already seen it with COVID. You know, the government has stepped in. I mean, you know, you know about the argument with, well, if the grocery stores and Costco can be open, why can't churches be open? Yeah. And why does the capacity have to be 50? I mean, it's just going to get worse.
Yeah, and I've obviously lived through the same year that you did. And again, you know, I'm in a different stage in my life where, you know, I had no idea that the world was going to unfold exactly the way that it unfolded. But in my view, again, I'm not ready to give up on the Constitution, and I'm not ready to give up on freedom, and I'm certainly not ready to give up on church. And, I know that it seems counterintuitive. It seems counterintuitive. But when you press in to friendship and fellowship, when you press in and let me just be an advocate just for a moment for sermons, okay? You know I'm a pastor and you know that I preach.
Right.
And believe it or not, sermons seem to be the God-ordained, Holy Spirit-ordained way to get truth. So let's not throw sermons under the bus just yet. Let's remind ourselves of what the Bible actually says. In John 15, 19 through 20, Jesus said that we should expect suffering. It sounds to me that that's exactly what you're expecting. So far, so good. You're expecting what the Bible says. Elaine, this is what you should expect. You should expect to suffer. You should commit your soul to God at the very beginning of your suffering, where you go, you know what? I'm a Christian. I'm a Jesus lover. Guess no matter what direction the culture takes, what, no matter which direction the popular culture takes, I'm going to be a Christ follower. In Romans 8:28, I know it sounds like a cliche and you know the passage. God causes all things to work together for good for those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose. What I get out of that passage isn't just a cliche Band-Aid. It's permission that I don't have to understand everything about suffering and persecution. But the Bible says, realize that other people suffer. Pray. Don't despise your suffering. Don't faint. Patiently endure. And what's the most counterintuitive, to thank God for our suffering. I know it sounds crazy.
I know. Take
Psalm 42:5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. For what reason and who in their right mind would do that? Well, because we know that God is at work. He's at work changing us, molding us, shaping us. And so I get it. I get what you're saying. But the church that you go to, it's a wonderful church with a wonderful Bible teaching pastor.
But I think at some point, who is going to stand up for what's going on? I think it has to be the church.
Well,
I think there's so many people, Gino, that are naive and that don't have the time to maybe delve into it as much as I do or you do. I mean, all these new terms are cropping up. Like, I just heard progressive Christianity. Well, I heard the term progressive, and I went, oh, my gosh, this doesn't sound good. Well, and it's not.
Yeah,
and these young people are growing up with all this stuff thrown at them. And that's why I'm thinking the churches need to start explaining this to the congregation about what is happening and what is being said out there.
Well, and you know, if you listen to me, that when I define progressive, what the definition means, so it means government controlled outcome. Mm-hmm. Government controlled outcome. So what is progressive Christianity? Well, to me, it's ideological social justice, which means we're not talking about what the Bible says about the real problem, sin. Jesus is the solution.
Correct.
By the way, because I've only got a few seconds left, we have a wonderful article at Got Questions. What is progressive Christianity and is it biblical? Well, the answer is no. It isn't biblical. It isn't biblical. But you talk about stand up. Let me help you just in the final moments. Whatever it means to stand up, it can't mean abandon historical biblical Christianity. So whatever it means to stand up, it can't mean to dismiss the reason why we exist. So, hey, call me back. I would love to talk more.